Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I am Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
We're continuing to talk about the Hunger Games. Are you hungry for violence? Maybe. I know a lot of people tune into YouTube videos and TV channels and watch violent TV shows.
My goodness.
Lots of the movies that they show in the theaters here involve a lot of violence. Lots of people getting shot and killed and stuff like that. So, yes, maybe people are hungry for violence, and that's probably why this movie is so popular, or at least not just the movie, but also the novel, The Hunger Games. I know you haven't read it, Stephanie, and I know I haven't read it, but I do know that my sister-in-law read it. She really enjoyed it, and I guess lots of other people enjoy this book as well, and that's why we're talking about it.
Your sister-in-law read it, huh?
Yeah, she's, my sister-in-law, of course, is of the Chinese persuasion. English is not her native language, so she may have thought this was a good book to read to sort of understand contemporary usage of American English or English in general.
Good for her.
So, yeah, on that note, I think all of you might consider reading this book as well, because it's probably not that difficult, and after you read it, you can have a sense of accomplishment.
Cool. Well, we talked about the plot in our day one of this literature unit. We talked about how they have these Hunger Games where they pit children against each other, and they're in a competition to survive. They fight to the death, which means when they get in a fight with each other, the only way to win is to kill the other person, which is horrifying, I think. We also were introduced to the main character, Katniss, and her friend, PETA. Those two are from District 12, and they end up fighting towards the end and actually decide they'd rather kill themselves than have to kill one another. So that's when the government changes the rules once again on the competition and allows them both to live by declaring them winners. It's kind of a creepy story where kids are killing kids, but it's very popular, and they're just wrapping up the filming of the movie, the second movie. So we've got Hunger Games 1, we're going to have Hunger Games 2, and we're also going to have Hunger Games 3.
Oh, they're going to have 3. They're not going to skip it and go straight to 4.
No.
Okay, well, there'll be 3 Hunger Games movies and novels, so hey, there's lots of stuff to enjoy. And today we're going to talk about the life and times of the writer of The Hunger Games, Ms. Suzanne Collins.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get to that, everybody. Let's read the entire content of today's lesson, and then we'll come back to discuss it.
It might seem a bit unusual to some that a violent story, such as The Hunger Games, was written by a woman. However, it begins to make more sense once you understand author Suzanne Collins' background. She comes from a family of soldiers that goes back for several generations. Her grandfather fought in World War I, her uncle served in World War II, and her father was a member of the United States Air Force and saw action in the Vietnam War. So from a very young age, Collins became well-versed in the reality of war. She experienced some anxiety as she watched news segments about the war in Vietnam, knowing that her father was fighting there. Fortunately, her father survived the war. When he returned, he became a military historian. Unlike many fathers who tried to leave their war experiences behind, Collins' dad educated his daughter about the horrors of war and the valor of men who served in these conflicts. After graduating from college, Collins became a successful author of children's books. One day, while flipping through television channels, she got an idea for a more mature story. She incorporated elements from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, along with reality television and classic Roman and Greek mythologies, to form the premise for The Hunger Games. The novel was released in 2008, and it achieved immediate critical success. Collins eventually turned her idea into a trilogy, and the first book was adapted into a blockbuster Hollywood hit.
Okay, it's time now to talk about today's lesson. Please listen carefully. If you don't listen carefully, you won't learn as much And if you do listen carefully, you will learn a lot more. I'll learn a lot more if you listen carefully. But in any case here, let's talk about the story here, and let's talk about the writer. It might seem a bit unusual or strange to some people that a violent story such as The Hunger Games was written by a woman. That's certainly very strange to me. Men certainly love their violence, don't they? They love to join the army and get killed and have blood and stuff like that, and they love to write these kinds of stories. Women, what do? They write stories about love and conversations between friends and stuff like that. Nothing really happens except a lot of talking and sharing feelings and emotions with each other. So, gee, this is strange. Why would a woman write a book about violence? That seems like something a man would do.
Yeah, it's an action film, plus it's violent. It's very unusual. Well, it begins to make more sense when you start to understand Suzanne Collins, who she is, what her background was like. So if something starts to make sense, it means, oh, it's logical now, it's reasonable to you, it's easy to understand why now. Well, let's look at her background. Your background is where you grew up, who your parents were, where you went to school. The kind of things that your family believed in, that's your background. Her family is actually a family of soldiers. So we know that a lot of her family members served in wars as soldiers. And it goes back for several generations. Generation is a group of people who were born and lived around the same time. For example, my parents are in one generation. I'm in a different generation. And then my nieces and nephews, they're in a different generation than I am. So the people that you were born with around the same age and went to school with, you share the same experiences. You remember the same music, you know, you kind of are familiar with the same television shows. You're in the same generation.
You can relate to each other in those ways. And so they have several generations going back to her grandfather. He fought in World War I, which, of course, took place in Europe, what, during the late 19-teens there, 1914 through 1919, I believe it was. Lots of people died there, in France mostly, but other places as well. And then her uncle served in World War II, which, of course, was fought in Europe and in Asia here, involving the Germans and the Japanese, as you know. This is her uncle, and we have the verb to serve here, used with the preposition in, to serve in. That means that he was a soldier. He did service as a soldier during World War II.
Serve can also mean you're performing some sort of duty or a job, and soldiers are definitely performing or serving in the army as a duty, something that they're required to do, that it's an honor to do, to serve your nation. Her father was also in the army. He actually served in the military that's called the Air Force. The Air Force is the part of the military where they fly planes. So he saw action in the Vietnam War. To see action is a phrase we use to talk about soldiers who are actually involved in fighting, in the fighting that happens in a war, and not just moving supplies or taking care of different areas, you know, where they don't actually have combat experience. These guys actually were fighting in the war. And if you see action, you're probably fighting to defend your country, defend yourself, and maybe killing other people.
You actually have to fight. You see blood and guts and stuff like that. So here he saw action in Vietnam. I guess he was flying bombing missions over North Vietnam or Cambodia or places like that. So she knew all about this, and she knew that the Viet Cong were probably trying to shoot her father down. So she was very concerned about this. And so from a very young age, Suzanne Collins became well-versed in the reality of war. So here we have the term well-versed. To be well-versed in something, that means you're very familiar with something. You have a good background with that thing. Maybe you've received a lot of training. You could be well-versed in English, for example. If your parents sent you overseas to study when you were maybe 5 or 6 years old or something like that. So here, she became well-versed in the reality of war. She probably heard her grandfather and her uncle and her father tell war stories all the time. They probably showed her their wounds and stuff like that. So she knew that war wasn't just something you read about in the newspaper. It was real.
When I looked up well-versed in the dictionary, we like to use learnersdictionary.com here. It's a form of Merriam-Webster's dictionary for second language learners. You won't find well-versed. You'll find versed, V-E-R-S-E-D. It's an adjective. It means having knowledge about something, and then you just use well in front of it to say, oh, have a lot of knowledge. Someone could be well-versed in French cooking. I'm well-versed in Mexican cooking. I actually know a lot of Mexican dishes to cook. So she experienced some anxiety as she watched all of these news shows showing parts of what's going on in the war in Vietnam, of course. A segment is just one part of something. It can be divided into different parts or sections. So she was watching different news stories on TV growing up, thinking, oh, my daddy's over there. I hope he's okay. So when you see some stuff like that, you would, of course, feel anxiety. Anxiety is the noun form of the adjective word anxious. So anxiety is just fear or nervousness about what might happen. You don't know what's going to happen, and it may actually be okay, but while you're waiting to find out the result, you feel a lot of anxiety. You're very anxious.
Indeed. So she felt a lot of anxiety because she was watching the news about the war in Vietnam, which, as you know, was like one of the first wars that was covered by the media. It was like a war you could watch in your living room at the time. Before that, it wasn't really like that so much. So she got these news reports all the time. She was worried sick. Oh, my goodness, I hope my dad wasn't in that battle, or I hope my dad wasn't the plane that got shot down there.
Yeah.
So she knew her father was fighting there, so she was very, very nervous about that. But fortunately, her father survived the war. Her father lived to tell his stories about the Vietnam War, and we'll continue talking about her influences as a young child and how she came to write the War Games, or the Hunger Games, rather, in just a second. But right now, we're going to take a break and listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 接着我们来看一下《饥饿游戏》的作者，她的名字叫做 Susan Collins。第一段的第二个句子提到 However, it begins to make more sense once you understand author Susan Collins' background. 其实她是一位女性作家，但是一旦你了解 Susan Collins 她的背景之后呢，你就会发现她为什么是可以写得出来这样子的故事了。在这个句子当中有一个偏语叫做 make sense, 指的就是讲得通或者是话有意义的意思。我们来造个句子。It makes sense to save money for one's old age, 指的就是为老年生活而储蓄是明智的。所以如果你说这个人讲的话完全没有意义，你就可以说 It doesn't make any sense.后面来提到她的家庭，提到 She comes from a family of soldiers that goes back for several generations. 她其实是来自于一个世代相传的军人世家。Generation 在这里指的就是家族的世代，当然也可以用来指的是同一个世代的人。所以我们常常讲年轻的那一代，我们可以说 The young generation.我们是属于当代的这一群人，就可以说 the present generation。后面提到他的祖父、他的伯父以及他的父亲都曾经经历过不同的战争。接着来看到第二段的第二个句子，其实呢，在他年幼的时候，他就听闻许多战争的新闻片段。She experienced some anxiety as she watched news segments about the war in Vietnam, knowing that her father was fighting there. 事实上他父亲在越战的期间每当他看到新闻里面的越战的片段他就会感到焦虑。首先来看一下 anxiety 这个名词解释成为担心挂虑的意思。News of his safety relieved my anxiety. 他平安无事的消息使我松了一口气。所以如果你说你为了什么事来担心挂虑，你可以搭配介系词 for 或者是 about。在后面这里提到的 segments, news segments, 指的就是新闻片段的意思。当然所幸的是他的父亲在战火下幸存回来。
We're going to take a short break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, so where we left off, we were talking about Suzanne Collins, how she came to write such a violent book. Why isn't she writing...love stories like Harlequin romances or something like that. But no, she's writing this violent story about children fighting each other to the death in the Hunger Games. Well, we found out that's probably because her relatives, her uncle and her grandfather and her father, were all soldiers. Mm-hmm. So she grew up in that environment, so she knew a lot about the violence of war. And her father came back from the Vietnam War,And he became a military historian. An historian is somebody who knows a lot about history. They study it. They report on it. They write books about it. In this case, her father was a military historian. He was an expert about history of wars.
So he wrote about it. Well, unlike a lot of fathers who tried to leave their war experiences behind...Collins' dad actually talked to his daughter about the horrors of war and also the valor of men who served in these conflicts. To leave something behind means you don't think about it anymore, you try to forget it, you want to move on. A lot of people who were involvedin wars as soldiers really saw a lot of things that were horrible. A lot of people dying, a lot of death, a lot of blood.Some things you just don't want to keep in your mind. So a lot of these soldiers, when they come home, they don't want to talk about it. They just want to move on. But her father was different. He decided to use what he had experienced and turn it into his career. So he became a military historian and wrote books about wars. So he didn't leave it behind. He shared his experiences with his daughter. It says he educated his daughter about the horrors of war.He didn't want her to think war was great. He wanted her to understand it really is awful. And he also told her about the valor of men who served in these conflicts. When you talk about someone's valor, it's a non-count noun. We use it when we write. We're talking about someone's courage or bravery. So a lot of times soldiers will receive an award called... For valor in service.
Medal of Valor, maybe?
Yeah. So it's a medal honoring their courage while they were fighting. So if you see valor, it just means courage.
Especially if it involves wars and soldiers being brave in the face of danger. So you could receive a commendation for valor in a battle or something like that. So he told his daughter all about the bravery and the valor of those men who servedin those conflicts. A conflict, of course, is whenthere's some kind of a disagreement and maybe violence because people don't agree. There are always conflicts in the Middle East, for example, between the Israelis and the Palestinians. Well, let's move on now to the next paragraph here. It says, after graduating from college, we could also say after graduating from university, Collins, the daughter here, became a successful authorof children's books. So she started writing children's books, which there's a big market for, actually, for both writing the stories and illustrating those books. And one day, while flipping through television channels, she got an idea for a more mature story. Most of us have done this before if we're bored sitting at home and we're kind of bored playing with the internet and we've put our smartphones down. We've already responded to all the messages online and Facebook and stuff like that. So what we do is we pick up the remote and we flip through television channels. Let's see if there's a movie on. Let's see if there's some good documentaries. Is there anything interesting on the news? Is there a baseball game on? So we just kind of flip through the channels using the remote.
Yes. So a channel is just a television or radio station. That's a channel. So she's just looking around, seeing what there is, and that's when she gets this great idea for a more mature story. If it's something's mature, it means it is more likely to appeal to an adult. It has the qualities adults would like, mental and emotional qualities that would be seen in an adult rather than a child. So she's looking for an adult story, you could say. So what she did is she incorporated different elements from wars, reality television, and even mythologies into her story and came up with the premise for The Hunger Games. To incorporate means you include something within something else. For example, I could say, I eat a diet that incorporates many different kinds of fruits and vegetables. So I have other things in my diet, but it includes different kinds of fruits and vegetables. So she has different things, elements or parts of things, different parts from wars that she's including, to reality TV, which is very popular these days, and also mythologies into her story.
She's kind of worked all these things into her story, incorporating the elements from the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, also with reality TV shows, which I don't think I've been terribly popular here in Taiwan. I haven't really seen them around, but you probably know what they are, just TV shows that follow the lives of people. And also Greek mythologies, you know, the Greeks, gods and goddesses. Those stories are pretty cool, too, if you've read about those. And that's the premise for The Hunger Games. And if you talk about the premise of something, you're talking about the foundation of something, something that leads to the formation of something else.
Kind of the basic idea for her story that she comes up with, a basic statement or idea as a premise. So she comes up with this idea, and that's how she starts. And it's kind of interesting. She was just kind of wasting time one day when all of these ideas kind of came to her, and she put them together and thought, huh, this is kind of a nice idea for a new novel. And this time it wasn't for kids, it was for adults. So the novel was then written and released in 2008, and it achieved immediate critical success. If you're talking about something that has critical success, it means the critics like it. It doesn't necessarily mean that the public likes it, but the critics think it's good. So it got good reviews, and of course we also know the public liked it as well. A lot of people went and saw this movie.
And read the book
and
as
read the
well.
Book, yeah.
And, of course, as what always happens is people often say, oh, the movie wasn't as good as the book. People almost always say that if they've both read the novel and seen the movie. But I guess the novel received critical success, so lots of thumbs up from reviewers in different magazines and newspapers. And Collins eventually turned her idea into a trilogy. In this sentence, we have the word trilogy, which means some kind of work of art, writing, or maybe music or a movie that comes in three parts. That's what a trilogy is. And if you turn something into something, that means you change its form. It was in one form before, and now it has become another form. It hasn't changed into that form. The new form is also in addition to the original form.
I could say, you know, I want to turn my extra bedroom into a home office. So it's a bedroom now that I'm not using, but I want to change its form and turn it into a home office. It's still the same space, but it's going to be used for different things. So she eventually turned her idea into a trilogy. So that one basic premise or idea for The Hunger Games has become three books, and eventually will be three movies too. The first book was adapted into a blockbuster Hollywood hit. If you see this word blockbuster, you know that something was very, very, very successful. Usually we use it to talk about Hollywood films, especially summer films, where they spent a lot of money to make the film, first of all, and then they had a lot of people go and see it. That's a blockbuster.
Exactly. Usually a movie. It could be a book or something as well, but usually I think of a blockbuster as being a Hollywood blockbuster.
Yeah, me too.
And so that's what happened. And, of course, this movie did make its way across the Pacific Ocean to theaters here in Taiwan. And I think it was pretty successful here as well. I know lots of people went to see it, and they talked about it all the time. Well, we'll continue talking about this book in our next program. We're going to talk about some of the themes and what they mean. But you'll have to tune in next time to listen to us talk about that. Right now, however, we're going to take a time out and listen to our Chinese teacher.
Susan Collins, 她的父亲从战争回来之后成为一个 military historian, 军事的历史学家。后面的句子提到 ,unlike many fathers who tried to leave their war experiences behind,Collins' dad educated his daughter about the horrors of war and the valor of men who served in these conflicts. 他的父亲跟别人不一样，不像其他的父亲是怎么样呢？ Who tried to leave their war experiences behind, 想要把他们本身战争里面的经验给遗忘掉。然而 Collins 的父亲却教育他的女儿呢，要懂得战争的惨烈， The horrors of war, 还有那些在战斗当中的服役者的英勇事迹， The valor of men who served in these conflicts。 我们来看一下这个片语 Leave something behind， 就是有遗留在身后的意思。所以如果你说 He left a big fortune behind when he died， 指的就是他死的时候呢，留下了一大笔财产。当然咯，如果你忘记或忘掉什么东西，你也可以用 leave something behind 的意思。接着我们来看到在第三段，大学毕业之后呢， Collins 其实成为了一个非常成功的 author of children's books， 成功的童书作家。有一天突然有这样子的一个想法，于是在第三段的中间句子提到 She incorporated elements from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan along with reality television and classic Roman and Greek mythologies to form the premise for the Hunger Games。其实呢，他的想法就是融合在伊拉克跟阿富汗战争当中的 elements 这些元素，把 A 跟 B 合并起来，我们可以找这些 keywords， 就是 incorporate A with B。除了把战争的元素加进来之外，还融入了 reality television， 也就是电视的真人实境秀。以及 classic Roman and Greek mythologies， 这些古希腊罗马的经典神话就成为了整个 The Hunger Games 的故事前提。这里的名词 premise 指的就是前提或者是某种逻辑的根据，所以什么事情它必须要有一个大前提，我们就可以说 the major premise。 最后一句提到 Collins eventually turned her idea into a trilogy and the first book was adapted into a blockbuster Hollywood hit。 后来呢，这个想法转换成为一套三部曲的小说，而首部曲也被改编成为好莱坞的买座电影。
Thanks for joining us, everyone. We've got one more program on the Hunger Games. We're going to talk about some of the themes within the novel in our next program, so that'll be really interesting. Come back and see what the author wanted to communicate and convey to her readers as she wrote these books, because she's now written more than just one Hunger Games book. Thanks for joining us. We're going to be back soon. We hope you're here, too. For English Digest, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. Goodbye.
Bye.